Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So we started this series on freedom, the need for freedom. And I believe it's a huge topic. Freedom is a huge topic. When I grew up in the church, the thought was when you gave your life to the Lord, everything was fixed. You had no more issues. And I realized it wasn't really the case because I still had art issues and I still had soul issues and I needed to see God come and bring freedom. And I'll talk about that in a moment. What I want to focus this morning is there's freedom to walk in the light. And there's also freedom when you walk in the light. And when you walk in the light, when you walk with everything exposed in the thought that you have nothing to hide, life is way better, right? When you walk and you don't have to hide or you don't have to find excuses or you don't have to pretend, it's a little harder when you do life when you have things to hide. And when you have nothing to hide, life is way easier. It's way lighter. And when we look at what Jesus came to do, in John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "So if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed." So when we look at the gospel, one of the mandate that Jesus had was to come and bring us freedom. And so freedom is a huge topic. God doesn't want you to live in bondage. God doesn't want you to be caught in your heart by all kind of junk that prevents you from running your race. So Jesus came to bring freedom. And this first freedom is found when we accept Him in our lives, right? Like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." Amazing when you think about that, right? It's like we have a new start. We have a new birth. We're reborn, right? And that's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. We have a new life. We have a new name, a new identity, a new ownership, a new destiny, a new pilot in the Holy Spirit. And so it's amazing to see that. And so what we want is we want to see that take root in our lives. If I do not know Jesus, I don't know that freedom that I can have with God the Father. And so when it comes to religion, in its ultimate ability or achievement, it can change behavior from a bad person to a good person. And that is do's and don'ts that people can put on someone or rules and principles that you can follow. But Jesus did not come to change a bad person into a good person. He came to change a dead person to a living one. It's a big difference between the two. Like Christianity the focus of Christianity, it's not to embellish us, but it's to bring life to us. And so what happens when you become a believer, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that we were dead in our transgression and sin. Jesus came in and brought a resurrection in us. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in us. So when it comes to Christianity, it's way more than principles you try to follow or laws that you're trying to apply. It's God coming and dwelling in you and giving you the ability to live a life that honors Him. And it's such a difference between the two, right? Some people will look at Christianity as, oh yeah, it will make you a better person. But the reality is Christianity brings resurrection in one's life. And so that's what we want to see. We want to live with that thought that when we are believers, we're not just rescued. And it's not that God came and trimmed the tree and made you more beautiful. God came, that's what Jeremiah says, He came to unroot the tree and plant a new one. And so this is who we are in Jesus. So when it comes to freedom, there's freedom in our identity and freedom in what Jesus has done for us. Amen? So we want to see that. And so you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It's not in the back, but it says, "For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." And so that's what Jesus did. There was a change, right? We were dead. We were in darkness. And Jesus came into our life, and there's light. And Jesus came and presented Himself as the light of the world. In this darkness of what Israel was going through, Jesus comes and is the light that brought clarity on who the Father is and gave a way of redemption through the veil that was ripped and where God talks about eternity wanting to be with us. It's so amazing, right? In John chapter 8, verse 12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the light of life is the resurrection power that is in us because of being submitted to Christ and because of what Christ did in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ died for our sin once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. To bring you to God, he was put to death in his body, but made alive in the spirit. So he came to rescue us that were unrighteous. So what we need to know is that when you give your life to the Lord, there's freedom, right? Freedom to approach the Father, freedom to know him, freedom to experience him. At the same time, freedom is also progressive. It's like if God would do all the changes he did in your life in the last 10 years in one day, you would probably explode, right? There's transformation, and we call that sanctification, where God makes you and transforms you as you let him, as you surrender. And so there's freedom in process, so there's freedom that happens as we surrender, and so it's a progress. We want to see that in our lives. But it's the same thing for the believer. When you're a believer and you know God, there's also, when it comes to bondages and when it comes to sin, it also is a progression where let's say you are a believer, you gave your life to the Lord, and there's a danger for me to drift away. There's a danger for me to lose sight of who God is. I think about the lost sheep. I don't think the lost sheep wanted to get lost. I don't think the lost sheep was talking to the 99 others and say, hey, you know, I want to get lost. I'm going to go and lose myself. I don't think it decided to get lost. I think it got lost just because it lost track of where the shepherd was. And little by little, you don't get lost just like that. You get lost one step at a time. And I like to tell the story of one time I got really lost in the bush. And when I got lost in the bush, I kind of panicked. I remember having a water bottle, and I threw the water bottle because I was just running like a moose. I just wanted out. And I found myself being drenched, soaking wet, and I was panicking, and I lost common sense. And so it didn't happen with one step. It happened with a process of steps. And I think one of the things that I really want to convey to you today is that I can walk in the light because Jesus made a way for me to walk in the light. But there's freedom when I walk in the light. And there's a challenge for me to walk in the light. I had the privilege to go down south for a holiday, and I saw some people paddle boarding on the ocean. It was cool to see, right? So then I came back home and I said, I need a paddle board. So then I Googled, I went to Kijiji, and I found myself a nice paddle board as at a low cost, and so I can't wait this summer to use it. But when I was looking at these people that were paddling on these boards in the ocean, the thought came, imagine if you paddle away from the shore to the point that you don't see the shore. And I think when it comes to our life, it's not easy in a way that it doesn't happen by accident. It happens by choices and decisions we make on every day. But we can find ourselves drifting away from the shore. And we drift from the shore little by little, and we do our life. And we do our life where we know that the shore is there, but it's getting further and further. But we feel pretty safe. Oh, the shore is there. We paddle. And then we get hit by a storm. Or let's say there's fog. I don't know if you've ever been on the lake where there's fog. And you're on this lake. And if you don't know where the north is, and if you don't know your landscaping, you're caught if you don't know where to go. So you can be on your paddle board, and you might be doing life, and you are following God, but from a distant perspective, like a distant view, and you think you're safe until something happens. And I've been pastoring for the last 36 years now, and I've seen a lot of people drift away in their faith. And I think when they when I think about seeing them drifting away in their faith, I don't think that they wanted to drift from their faith. I don't think it was like a decision in the morning, I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore. It was decisions after decisions that brought them to drift. And when we look at the church today, when we look at key leaders in the church today, there's a lot of drifting away. And how do you find yourself drifting away? How do you find yourself in the fog, in a place where you don't see the shore? It's because slowly you went away from the shore to pursue something. And there's different currents, and there's things that we don't control. There's rain, there's the evening that comes, darkness comes. And so what I saw in my journey, maybe in your journey also, is that you see people totally walk away from the faith based on events and circumstances. And the reason, one of the reasons why this happened is because they had already started to drift away in their faith. And so it's important for us to realize that we're called to live in the light. And maybe you're here this morning, and this when it comes to the drifting, I might not know. You might give me a nice smile this morning, but you might be drifting in your heart. You might be drifting in your heart when it comes to your relationship. You might be drifting when it comes to your call, the call that God has placed in your life. And that's the thing. Nobody knows the drifting of the heart. But it's important for us to be aware of that. That for sure, I have access to walk in the light because Jesus made a way, because he's my light, and I have the light inside of me. But there's a danger for me of drifting away. And there's such a battle happening over your head, you know? There's a spiritual battle happening over your head, and you have so many options. There's so many different places you could go. But the thing is, don't live your life at a distance and seeing the shore and say, I've got Christianity in my life to some degree and following Jesus from a distance. The reality is God will be as close to you as you want him to be. That's the thing. You decide how close you want to be from God. You decide how real God can be in your life. But I'm going to tell you this. There's freedom when you choose to walk in the light. There's a freedom because you were made to walk in the light. You were made for a relationship. You were made to connect with God. And it's not just it's for everyone. I'm under that danger. You are under this danger of just drifting away. And may there be a sense of alertness or an alarm that beeps in our heart, Claude, you're drifting away. Claude, you're taking a different path here. You still know where the mountains are and the shore is, but man, you're getting a little smaller from the shore, right? And so we don't want to drift away. And that's a reality that we all face, right? Jesus caused me to walk in the light, and Jesus has caused me to live differently. And you find that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." I'm light in the Lord because he's in me. Like, I'm the light of the world and the salt of the earth, not because of who I am, but because he's in me, right? And what my goal is to surrender to him, surrender to the voice of his spirit, to surrender to his word that is alive and able to transform. So it says here, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So is it possible to be the light and not live in the light of the Lord? So we don't want to drift away from the shore. We are called children of light. And we see the fruits, for the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find what pleases the Lord. When it talks to goodness in the original language, it talks about generosity. It talks about focus on others. It talks about blessing, being a blessing. Righteousness is not about the state of the believer being righteous in God, it refers to, but upright living and godly living. When it comes to the truth, It's not saying the thought of truth here refers to genuineness, being the same everywhere, being real and being sincere. And when it says find out what pleases the Lord, it becomes the focus of your life. What are you living for? Pleasing the Lord. Here I am, Lord. Have your way. And so this is God has intended me to live by. And when I live in this way, there's freedom. Freedom to do God's will is the most glorious thing ever. And so God wants me to walk in that freedom, right? So how can I walk in freedom? Number one, walking in the light is not perfectionism. So walking in the light is not for you to be perfect. And we can see kind of this paradox that you find in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, where John is explaining that we're called to live in the light, but knowing that living in the light is not to be perfect, because we would all fail, right? Well, look what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him, talking about Jesus, and declare to you, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. So we understand that there's no darkness in Jesus. And in verse 6, it says, if we claim we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. I think that's pretty clear, right? In verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. When it talks about fellowship with one another, it talks about having fellowship with him, with God. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us of all sins. And so when we walk in the light, verse 7, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And so when you walk in the light, you are able to hear him because you are dispositioned to hear his voice. You are in connection with him, right? And so in verse 8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And this is where the paradox is. God wants us to walk in the light, but he says, you can't because, well, you can, but the thing is you have sin, right? So then the thought is, how can I do it? Well, you can't. It's him in you, right? And this is where we find the key in verse 9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What John is saying here is that to walk in the light is not for you to betterment yourself, but it's to see him transform you, and that will happen when you submit to him and you acknowledge your state and your need of him. And when that happens, God comes in, moves in you, and makes you able to follow him. That's the heart of Christianity. Way different than religion, where you're trying to do this and trying to do that on your own. It shows here that we're called to live in the light and walk in the light, but I can't do this on my own. I need to see God rescue. I need to see God's empowerment. I need to see God in my midst, right? But we still need freedom. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. In verse 10, it says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So we're called to live in the light, but at the same time, we can't say that we are perfect, because in reality, we're not. And so when we think we are, we're missing the boat, because the only way I can live in the light was when I acknowledge that I need transformation. Still with me? It says in verse 1, my dear brothers, chapter 2, verse 1, I write this to you so that you will not sin. And so the goal of John was that we don't want you to sin, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense or in our behalf, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. In verse 3, it says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. So what John is saying here is that we're not called to try to be perfect. We can't. But he's not saying at the same time, live the way you want and just ask forgiveness and it's fine. He's talking about pursuing his ways, pursuing his commandments. And what he's saying here is that we're called to pursue God. But the way for us to walk in the light is when I let God in and I let him to touch me and mold me and fashion me. And there's so many testimonies of that, of what God can do in one's heart when you surrender to him. Amen? Secondly, I need to search my own heart in the light of his presence and his word. If I want to walk in the light, I need to look at myself. I got to look at myself and not look at others as much as look at myself. Like, it's like this guy, I like to give this picture, I like this guy that goes around and he stinks everywhere he goes, but all this time he's got mustard under his nose, right? And so it's him that's not smelling right. It's not other people around that are having that odor. And so we want to search our own heart. That's huge, right? Taking the time to search our own heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourself to see whatever you are in the faith. Test yourself. You examine yourself, God, how am I walking? Am I following you? Am I on track on what you're asking of me? How's my attitude, God? That's something cool to do. Ask God questions. God, what do you think? What do you think about my attitude in regard of my wife? What do you have to say, God? And sometimes I don't want to hear that, right? And I don't want to ask the question because I'm afraid of his answer. And so I'm called to search my own heart. Psalm 139, verse 23, beautiful, beautiful two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. You see what's happening inside? I'm opening the door, Lord. And, you know, I was going to say we live in a community. No, we live in a world where we keep all our stuff, especially in the religious setting, is that we don't want to share anything because if people really see what's happening inside, then they will look at us in a different way. But it's so not true. One of the values that we have as a church is that we want to celebrate transparency and we want to acknowledge our humanity. And that's why we had a Set Free last weekend. This is why we have the Conquer series. We know that we need freedom. We need to see Jesus come and shed light in our hearts. But it happens when we take the time to open up, right? If I don't open up, then God is limited to do something in my heart. If I seal my heart up, if my heart is like an oyster, you look in the book of Revelation, you see Jesus knocking at the door of the church, right? It's sad to say, but is that the case of my life where he's knocking at my door, but I'm not letting him in? And how do I let him in? It's first, I need to acknowledge who I am and what I'm struggling with, right? And in verse 24, is see if there's any offensive way in my life and lead me to the way, to the way everlasting. So I want to be led in God's ways, that is the way of everlasting, but I need to let God shed light in my heart. That's a challenge I give you this morning. Are you willing to let God shed light in your heart? It's a good thing. Like, I remember someone that told me, don't ask God to test you because he's going to do it and it's not good. Well, no, it's a good thing. If he tests me, it's because there's an issue. And that issue, I wanted to have it resolved so I can be more like him, so I can walk in freedom and other people be blessed by my life. So I said, God, test me, yeah, because I want to change, right? It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So it addresses arrogance. It addresses thinking that you're better than other people. It makes you focus on who you are and realize it's just a story of grace. And one of the key ingredients when it comes to doing life, it's with humility when it comes to God, right? You got the story in the gospel where Jesus talks about this Pharisee and this tax collector, right? Where this Pharisee is there, he's looking down at people. He says, I thank God I'm not like him. I'm not like her. I pray twice a week. I tighten my finances. And then he looks at this tax collector and says, thank God I'm not like him. Then you have this tax collector that he's not even looking up. He's looking. He says, God, forgive my sin. I've sinned against you. And Jesus said, there's only one that came out of the house justified. It wasn't the Pharisee. So it's so important for us to be tender to the Lord, right? When we look at our walk, when it comes to how we do life, we want to be aware. We don't want to harden our hearts to experience a certain kind of peace. Did you get this? Sometimes what we think so that we can be at peace is we harden our heart. And when we harden our heart, it gives us a moment of peace. Because you don't have to deal with the issue. You don't have to deal with the wedge that you have with God or with other people. But it's not good. It doesn't heal. And then you carry that to the next step. And you carry that into other relationships. And it just drags you down. And then you become miserable. And you become a prisoner in your emotion and in your heart. You see, it's so important to let the light in, to let God in. Because Jesus came for my freedom. And there's so much freedom when we walk in the light, right? And Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Confess and renounce finds freedom. Like, conceal his sin does not prosper. So easy to do, right? so easy to conceal and to hide. And when we do that, we miss out on what God wants to do. And the reality is that sin damages everything. Have you ever been in a place where sin has brought good things? It damages everything. It damages my relationship with God. It damages my relationship with others. It puts a wedge in what God wants to do in my life. Like, sin is like leprosy. It eats you little by little, and you're not even aware of it. So I walking in the open is way better. And so this is why we can experience this forgiveness in 1 John. You might say, well, yeah, I'm struggling. Well, confess your sin. Go to a brother. Open up. Let God in. When you open your heart to light, darkness has to flee. Have you ever seen darkness say, well, you know what? Light, I don't want to leave. When the sun rises in the morning, darkness goes. It doesn't negotiate. It has no power because the light wins. So when you let light come into your life, it frees you up. And this is where there's true freedom, when you let light in, right? So you want to see God touch your heart, but it's when you search your heart and you become vulnerable. Number three is I need to be guided by His word. Don't look to man for an answer. Don't look to culture for an answer. Look to His word. Like, I need His word in my inner man, that when I feel that I'm drifting away or pursuing other things, His word comes up and bubbles in my heart and reminds me of the ways of the Lord. If I don't store God's word into my heart, then I what am I storing my heart with? And if I don't have God's word in my heart, then what will influence me? Right? It's from the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks, or no, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever is inside will come out, but what is inside? Right? Come on, I've got to look at what's inside. What am I feeding myself with, right? And Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I've hidden your word into my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord, teach me your decrees. I've hidden your word in my heart, so I won't sin against you, because it's going to pop up when my will wants to drift away, or my pleasure or my temptation wants to drift away. His word bubbles up and reminds me. So I want to see that. And he says, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I want more of your word in me, right? So I need to be guided by his word for my inner person, but also in my walk. We live in a society today that people are walking the way they want. They just decide. It's like people writing their own dictionary. Like, I've created my own language. And someone is talking, blah, 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 don't have a clue what he's saying. You say, well, I have the right to have my own dictionary. And what I'm trying to say is that we build our own theology, belief system. And this is where you find Psalm 119, 105 being so powerful. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We sang this with Amy Grant, right, many years ago, for those that are a little older. And I won't sing it to you because I will give you a bad memory of the song. But your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. As you do life, things happen. Culture happens. And then you look, God, what are you saying? You take another step. People are saying this. Culture is saying this, but God, what do you say? As you move forward, you always have the book open. So before you adopt and before you get caught by culture, whatever culture is saying, you're always looking at God's word as you take a step. And this is so huge in today's world, right? I can't forge my belief and doctrine to justify my lifestyle. And when that happened is that it's because I drifted away from the shore and I made my own theology and my own belief system, you know? We can't excuse our sinful walk by finding reason or excuses and finding teacher to justify our behavior. You want to find a teacher for what you believe, you'll find one. Just go on YouTube. But what you're called to do is you're called to have God's word at your feet as you walk. What are you saying, God? And I need to see God's word on my path. God, where are you leading me? What are you saying, and where are you leading me? And that's how we're called to live our lives, right? And so it's important for us to be found in the truth or be found in the light in this when we're guided by his word. Number four is when I'm accountable to other people. I don't like to hear this in today's society because my privacy is your privacy. But you know, the church has become more I than we. Even in application of God's word, I realize when I preach, I say all like you or like I and not we. Like we were lived to live in community. We were made to live with accountability. We find that in James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous man has powerful and effective. But if you look at the first part, therefore confess your sin to each other. Wow, and you pray for each other. Like, when's the last time you've done that? As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about myself. When's the last time I did that? Like, it has to be part of my life. I've got to live with vulnerability. I've got to live my life with having other people see the real cloud. You see? But we don't like to live this way. We like to project a cloud that we want to see other people. We want to project the cloud that we want other people to see. And this is why we want to create a community of transparency where we can be who we are and we can have other people walk with us instead of throwing stones at us, right? So I need accountability. My last point here, I need to take a pause. I need to be refreshed by him. Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. When is the last time the Lord has led you to lie down in green pastures? Like, look at the busyness of life. Where is the last time he led you beside quiet waters? When's the last time you felt him restore you? You know, Sabbath, like, is one day a week. But Sabbath needs to happen every day. Where we are having a time with God, where we stop, where we have to pause. If we don't take pause, we don't see clearly and we don't hear properly. I need time to rest in my body, but I also need time to rest in my inner man, inner person, so I can hear him. John 20, verse 17, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. Do you have time to do that? To listen to the voice of the shepherd? It doesn't happen. Friends, it doesn't happen by itself. It's something that you put into your life. We're talking at a staff to work on mapping your time and when it comes to scheduling your life, when it comes to your priorities, it's the same thing here. I've got to give time in my life for rest where God is able to speak to me. And I got to do that on my daily basis. If I don't do that, I don't know what he's saying. And it's going to be easier for me to drift away because I'm not hearing him, right? I'm hearing something. It might not be him. And so I need to set a time aside. Like the world is yelling and the voice of God is whispering. Emergencies are yelling at you, but priorities are whispering. And you need to put that into your life where you have time to listen and hear. Just to wrap up this morning, the beauty is I can walk in the light because of Jesus. So you might be here this morning and say, I'd like to follow God, but I can't. And it's okay, join the club. We all can't. That's the beauty of the gospel. The only way you can follow him, it's by him. It's him that lives in me, right? So if you haven't given your life to the Lord, or maybe you've walked away from the faith, and well, you know what? You can give your heart to Jesus today. You can say, God, come and rescue me. Come and rescue me. Come and bring light in my darkness. He's going to respond. He did to me. He will to you too. He doesn't love me more. And secondly, you might be here this morning. You're a Christian, but you're on your paddleboard, and you're a little away from the shore. You're following other stuff, and you're not really realizing that you have drifted quite a way. Come back to the shore. Don't come back to the shore and say, God, I want to walk in the light. You can choose this morning to walk in the light. You can choose to embark yourself in this journey of walking in the light. You really can. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by the community of believers, you can. So my prayer is that you would not, my prayer is that if the Lord tarries, if we have this in 10 years from now, I don't want to drift, and I wouldn't want to see you drift. Like I said, it's hard to see if someone is drifting because it's a heart thing. But God sees your heart, and God wants to rescue your heart, and God wants to reveal himself in your life. Amen? I would ask you to stand. Father, we thank you so much for the plan of restoration and rescue. When your son came, was a rescue mission. We were caught in darkness. We were dead in our transgressions. And your son came and laid his life down for us so that we might have this life inside of us. You see in your word that if we choose to die to self, that means to submit, surrender to you, that we will rise in you. That if the seed goes into the ground and dies, it will produce a fruit. Father, I just pray that you would do a work in our lives, that we would be quick to repent, we would be quick to turn to you, that we would not drift away, but that we would walk in the light. As a church and as a people, Lord, we want to walk in the light. We want to be walking according to your word. We want to walk in humility and transparency. We want to walk with others in our lives. So just pray, Father, that you would speak to us and that you would do what you do so well, bring freedom in our hearts. If you're here this morning and you have drifted away and you got things in your heart that you carry that you should not carry, or there's things that you do that you should not do, give it to the Lord. It says he's faithful and just to forgive him if you confess and you align yourself in his will. And you feed yourself from his word and you walk in community, you'll be able to win this and conquer this and move forward in more freedom. So Father, I just pray that your word would not sound like a condemning word, but I pray that your word would bring conviction in our hearts where we want to be on the shore, and that we're not drifting away from who you are and from your ways. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.